10 years ago, a woman from Croydon lost her 16-year-old son after he'd overdosed on ecstasy. As a reaction, his parents set up a charity in his name to help young people make safe choices about drugs and alcohol. Working with families, schools, and community groups across the country, Daniel Spargo Maps Foundation has developed an evidence-based drug and alcohol education program. I have spoken to the founder and director, Fiona Spargo Maps, who has been awarded the Order of the British Empire for her service to young people. She sees the 10-year anniversary as an opportunity for reflection.
10 years is it's a really significant milestone. It's been an opportunity to reflect and look back. And because the charity has just grown and grown and grown from the start, and it's been so all-absorbing, it's not until really having those moments when you can look back and see, oh my goodness, we have actually achieved a huge amount. We started it so soon after Dan died that we just had no idea what would happen. We didn't even know whether it would become anything. Mm-hmm. And here we are 10 years on, and we're so thankful for all that we've been able to do. It was both a very hard milestone, but also a great cause for celebration. And, you know, from that very bad thing of Dan dying, lots and lots of good things have grown.
In May 2014, just months after Daniel died, the foundation asked an award-winning author, Mark Wheeler, to write a play to tell Daniel's story to other young people. The title took his choking last words before he left home: "I love you, Mum. I promise I won't die." Since September 2022, the play's been one of the 7 texts on the GCSE drama syllabus, alongside Shakespeare and other big names.
I mean, we didn't even know if it would be published. And there it was. Not only was it published, and as a published play, it's been performed right around the world. I mean, Australia and New Zealand and Canada, schools and community youth theatres have performed the play. So that's Dan's story. And we commissioned it because that we wanted that to communicate messages to young people about choice and risk and consequence and looking out for each other and being aware of the role that the people around you can play and the decisions you make. And that's why we commissioned it. But that's now, the fact that that's now on the GCSE drama syllabus is just amazing. So this summer is the first summer that will be examined on. People will be sitting in exam halls.
Exciting, isn't it?
GCSE drama paper, answering questions about our characters or that particular bit of dialogue or whatever, which is totally real for us, but for them is something. So that studying and performing in the play is such an incredibly powerful way of getting those messages in young people's heads. But we also commissioned Mark to adapt that to tour, and that's been touring schools as a shorter theatre and education production for every year since 2017. So that's become a core part of our programme.
But as the years go by, DSM Foundation needs to adapt to a whole new generation of young people. What's changed over the past decade?
Various things are different. Young people are still young people. Their adolescent brains are still really not helping them out when it comes to managing decisions and managing risk. Drugs are still very much around for young people. Vaping has only been around, it's only been around sort of a decade. It was very kind of niche back 10 years ago, whereas that's now such a big concern for so many schools. So the substances themselves, what's in and what's out, have fluctuated to a certain extent, but those core substances are the same. Alcohol, cannabis, nicotine and its various forms. Snus, we're seeing, you know, there's nicotine pouches. That's a very recent thing. A big game changer has been social media. That has really changed the social landscape for young people, but also their exposure to all sorts of things, including drugs and other pressures and so on. So that's really changed. Something that's changed in a really positive way is that drug education is now mandatory in schools in England and Wales. So that came in summer 2020. So it means that all schools have to do something. Doesn't mean they have to do it well. There's so much demand on schools. I would never criticise schools because they're being asked to do so much with less and less all the time. There is something, and then there is more of an opportunity to speak into what that might look like if it's done well. What does that need to be? So that's a very positive thing. And in terms of the kind of the national policy landscape as well, when we started the charity, there was a certain amount of scepticism about the value of drug education. And that's really shifted. The current drug strategy has a whole, well, it's got a whole strand on reducing demand. And some of that is about enforcement and what do we do about if people are caught in possession of drugs, what's the best way to stop people wanting drugs at the kind of the sharp end of it. But there is also a focus on prevention. How do we prevent people using drugs? How do we delay the onset of use? How do we reduce the likelihood that people that start using drugs will end up having problems with drugs or will use or develop an addiction? And so all of that is really positive because, again, that opens up huge opportunities for a charity like ours.
The government's recently proposed bill would make it an offence to sell tobacco products to anyone born after January 2009. Gen Alpha could then be the UK's first smoke-free generation. Fiona Spargomaps supports the bill, but with some concerns.
Generally speaking, the harder something is to do, the less likely people are to do it. So I think that will help. There isn't a precedent for it. So it will be interesting to see how it pans out. I mean, there are concerns about it just kind of launching a black market. I mean, there's already a black market in cigarettes because cigarettes are so expensive. Yeah, so there's concern about that, and that then meaning that people are getting things from someone who's trading in stuff illegally, which then puts you in contact with someone that's probably doing other stuff illegally, potentially. So yeah, it's an interesting one. I think generally it will be of benefit, and so we as a charity we're supportive of it. But obviously with some, I don't think it's going to necessarily be the big game changer. I think there will still need to be a lot of education around it because there are drugs that are illegal that young people use that cause them harm. There are drugs that are legal, like alcohol, that they use and that adults use that cause whole heaps of harm. Mm-hmm. So wherever they are on that spectrum, drug education is absolutely vital because you can always get stuff.
Okay. And now, looking ahead to the future, what are your main goals and plans with your charity?
What I want is for every young, I mean, this is our vision really, is that every young person in the UK has access to and is provided with really effective drug education. I would like us to be the go-to drug education charity because I think we've got, somebody else could do that. As long as somebody is doing that, that's great because there needs to be a reference point and there needs to be someone that's pushing everyone forward. And there needs to be somebody that is holding together what good looks like and making sure that we are holding everybody accountable who's involved in doing that to make sure that they are looking after the young people in their care as well as they possibly can be.
Yeah, makes sense. And I wish you the best of luck with what you're doing.
Thank you.
More information about Daniel Spargomaps Foundation, their work, and opportunities to help, as well as useful resources, can be found on their website, www.dsmfoundation.org.uk. For Radio Jackie, Daniel Tyson.